Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're continuing, of course, our study, which we're calling Recognizing the Roles. We're looking at the various relationships within the family unit. And what we're trying to do is see the biblical truths concerning roles, responsibilities, husband, wife, parents, children. Look at Colossians 3. Look at 18, 19, 20, and 21. Just notice what it says. Wives, be subject to your husbands. 19, husbands, love your wives. 20, children. 21, fathers, and fathers representing the parents. So what you see is the wives, the husbands, the children, and the parents, basically, is what we're seeing. And what does the Bible say? And if you look back at chapter 3, verse 1 of Colossians, it says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, and we have, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And what we talked about is that we want to live out who we are. We want to live as those who have been raised up with Jesus Christ. And what we did on those first two lessons, we looked basically as marriage and family as a whole, and we just saw all different kind of things. And then now we're trying to get into a little bit more detail. We're going to look at the role of the wife and then the responsibilities of the wife. Then we're going to look at the role of the husband and responsibilities of the husband. And then we'll get to the children and we'll get to the parents. So in the next two lessons, what we see is the wife's role. That's the big overview. That's this lesson. Then the wife's responsibilities, which are really more details. That will be the next lesson after this one. And we'll just see how far we get. But as always, if you have questions, comments, input, you just stop me and we'll go through them. There's a lot to deal with in these passages. Some of the things, let me just say this, and it's truthful. Some of the things that you see in the scripture are different than you see in the culture. And the culture is contrary to scripture in some ways. And some of the things that we've heard, you know, you go back to the Bible and you go, wow, the Bible says that. And so what we need to do is always go by the scripture. Let's start with prayer and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for our class. Thank you for each one that's in our class. Lord, we just love to come together and study the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the subject of just looking at our families and marriage and husbands and wives and parents and children and all of the different things that we'll look at over these weeks. Lord, we realize that you have given us truth. You have given us information. You have given us responsibilities. You've given us roles to follow. Lord, we know that we have been raised up with Jesus Christ. When we trusted in him, we've been placed in Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are actually raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we want to live. We want to set our mind on the things above, not the things on this earth. We don't want to live according to the world. We want to live according to our Savior and according to the Word of God. So, Lord, teach us as we look through all these things over these weeks. Help us to understand that we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, the word submit in our culture often brings bad thoughts. If I said, you know, you need to submit, and actually people don't really want to submit. Many are taught that they have their rights, especially in the United States. You say, look, I got my own rights. I can do what I want to do. Nobody can really tell me what to do. Each person is free to make choices. I do it my way. Well, let me tell you a story. There was a story of this captain of a ship, and he was going, and he saw a light ahead, and so he got to his radio guy and said, radio to that light up there, tell him to turn 10 degrees to the south. Well, a reply came back and said, no, you turn 10 degrees to the north. Well, the captain got a little bit angry, and he said, wait a minute. You tell him I'm a captain. Well, the answer came back and said, I'm a seaman, third class. And so the captain was really angry, and he said, you tell him I'm a battleship. And he came back and he said, you tell him I'm a lighthouse. Right? Okay. So nobody wants to submit. That's the way it is. But the truth is, in God's word, there's submission all the time. God has a plan and structure in the Lord. Listen to this. Jesus Christ submits to the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. The church submits to Christ. He's the head of the church. The man submits to Christ, who is, it says, that Christ is the head of every man. The wife submits to her husband. It says, wives submit. Children are submit to their parents. It says, children obey your parents. Workers submit to bosses, where it says, come under their authority. Citizens submit to the laws of the government, Romans 13. Students submit to their teachers, come under the authority. Believers submit to elders in a local church. That's what Scripture says. So the Bible is filled with roles and responsibilities and submissions. And as you go through, that's where I've got that right there. The Bible is full of all of these different things. What we want to do is we want to look in this lesson, we want to look at the role of the wife. And one of the words that just seems to stand out when you think about the role of wife is the word submit. Now, what does it mean? What does it look like in a marriage relationship? How is a woman to do this? And our culture doesn't like the word submit. People want their freedom. They want to say, nobody really tells me what to do. And should a woman submit to her husband? What does that mean anyway? We know that in our lives we all submit in all kind of areas. Especially true for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. We come under the authority of the Word of God and the information there. Well, this morning we're going to look at the role. We're going to start looking at, because I know just time-wise and how we go, we're going to start looking at the role of the wife. But let's do this. Once again, flip back to Genesis chapter 1. Go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. We saw this several weeks ago, but I just want to remind you of something. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26 and 27, and we just see that he created. Notice verse 26, God said, is anybody back there? It's a little bit hard sometimes to flip all the way back, but Genesis 1, 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image, and then he goes ahead and explains, gives the big details. He created him, male and female, he created them. And so he created the man. Then if you get a little further along in chapter 2, it said, the Lord's God said, it's not good for the man to be alone, because he gives us the details. Remember this, in Hebrew writing is you have an overview and then a detail. The overview is Genesis chapter 1. The detail is Genesis chapter 2. And the details are always the most important aspect. In Genesis chapter 1, he talked about the 6 days of creation, how God rested, and he just says God created man. Well, you get to chapter 2, the most important aspect of all creation is man, and so Genesis chapter 2 is the creation of people. And he creates the man first, and if you remember that, he says this, after he's created the man, he put him in the garden, he commanded him, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat from that tree, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. So that man is created. Then God says in verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. Was he actually alone? We talked about this several weeks ago. Was he alone? Who did he have? He actually had God, right? But God says it's not good for the man to be alone. Sometimes we say things like, if I only have God, that's all I need. Well, the truth is, God is the greatest and that's all you need. But God says it's not good for you just to be God in a person. He says, you need something else. And so what did God do? First of all, he created animals and brought them by. And the reason he did that, in fact, verse 18 says, I will make a helper suitable for him. See, a helper suitable, and that idea means someone that matches, someone that fits. And we saw that he brought the animals by. In verses 19 and 20, it said, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast, and he brought them by, and he gave them names. And verse 20, he gave them names. But at the end, it says, but for Adam, there was not a helper suitable for him. He wanted Adam to see that there was a need. And then what we saw in verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman. Now remember, the Hebrew word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha, which means out of man. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And so what is amazing, it's one flesh, and they match. And that's what he really said. He said, wow, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha because she was taken out of Ish. She shall be called the woman because she was taken out of the man. Now, here's something to understand. Realize that the woman was created out of the need of the man. She is special and has specific purpose. So the creation of the woman, and when we start talking about man and women and how we are different, and you know, we went through the whole thing in lessons 1 and 2 about how we think differently, how we're just different in every way. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And when God said, I'm going to create a woman and coming out of the man, she's not like the man. She doesn't look like the man. She doesn't think like the man. She doesn't act like the man. And vice versa. And as we think about the roles of the women, of a woman, and how that fits, remember, in a marriage relation, the husband and wife, there are two things that go together. We've seen this. And this is verse 18 and 19 of, if you go back to Colossians, it says, wives submit, husbands love. In fact, go ahead and leave Genesis, turn back to Colossians, okay? Turn back to Colossians 3. This is where we are. And I want you to notice those two verses. Verse 18, wives be subject, that's the word for submit, be subject to your own husbands as fitting the Lord. Verse 19, husbands love your wives. And so if you wanted to sum up, and there's a lot more than this, but if you just wanted to say very quickly, wives submit, husbands love. Now there's more to it, and we're going to see there's a lot more in just a minute as we get a little bit further into it. And we talked a little bit more about this at the end of chapter 2, at the end of lesson 2, but that's what we see. Now, as we turn, as we think about the role of the wife, I want you to think two aspects, two overarching aspects. One is submit. The other is respect. Now, we spent a little bit of time last time. If you remember, we talked about the prince and the princess. We talked about the man sees himself as a prince, as a defender, as a hero. That's what men need to think. Men need to say, I'm a rescuer, I'm a hero, I'm a defender, I'm the prince. I save the damsel in distress. And the woman sees herself as the princess, the one who needs someone there to protect her and to be there and to be the one to match her in that way. So we've got two aspects, and let's just think about it. And let me flip this over just to make sure where we are. So the role of the wife, we're going to see, is twofold. It is to submit and it is to respect. Okay? Well, let's see those two things. Let's see how they fit. First one is the wives are to submit. Look at verse 18. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, or subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. The word submit there, or the word be subject, is the word hupotasso. Hupotasso. Hupo means under, tasso means command. It means, it's a military term. It means come under command. Now, the wife does not obey the husband. That's a whole different word. It says, children, obey your parents. That's hupo akuo. Hupo means under. Akuo means to hear. We get acoustics from it. Akuo. It says, children, you hear under your parents. You do what they say. That's why it's translated obey. But it doesn't say wives obey your husbands. It says wives submit to your husbands. It's hupotasso. It is a military term. It's just a little, it's a different word. God's plan that he has placed the man and the woman, he's placed them in the family unit, he has placed the man as the head of the family unit, and the wife submit. And sometimes in our culture, people think this is bad. People think this is bad. And notice it says, wives, be subject to your husbands. Submit. This is not an inferiority or superiority. It's different roles and different responsibilities. Sometimes men think because they're placed as the head in the family, than they are, that they're better. They're not better. In fact, we're equal in that sense. Equal how? Notice. Fellow heirs of the grace of God. Men and women are fellow heirs of the grace of God. They're fellow heirs of salvation, and they're fellow laborers in Christ. So the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, this idea of a wife submitting has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority, has to do with the roles that God has set up. And let me just say this, and we're going to get to it more when we get to the man's role about being the head and being the leader and all that. Listen, when you have a family and you have a mama, a husband and a wife, and you've got to make a decision, somewhere someone has to be the tiebreaker, so to speak. Because if the husband says, I think we do this, and the wife says, I think we do this, you've got a stalemate forever unless somehow God has ordained that one of them would be the head and ultimately have to so-called tie break or make the decisions. And that's the man. That's the way he set it up. So the idea here is submit, not inferiority, but superiority. We'll go into details. And if you have a question or comment, you just stop me and we'll do it. Wives, submit. And then notice the next slide, I think, says, submit yourselves as fitting. That really is a legal term that says what is right. So it could be translated, wives, be subject to your husbands as what is right in the Lord. That would be a way to translate it. So do what is right. Come under the authority of your husband. Realize wives submit, men lead, placed by God as the head. But some don't like this. I've done counseling. Let me just be honest with you. I've done almost 260 weddings, and 99% of everybody I've ever counseled, when we go through the scripture and we look at the roles, they totally agree. I've had a few people over the years, someone say, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. Or, well, I've had men say, well, I don't think I ought to be the leader. I think she ought to make all the decisions. I think she ought to be the head. I say, that's not her role. You know? And so most of the time, now let me just say this. If you have a problem with this, say you're a woman and you're sitting here and you say, I had a problem with this submission thing. It's because of the culture. It's not because of Scripture. It's because what you've heard or been taught or been pushed to, or maybe seen things in the wrong way. The Word of God is clear. Submission is hard. Nobody wants to submit. It's not natural to submit to anything. It's natural to do our own thing. We want to do our own thing. Now, he begins with wives submit. Before we go further and go with the wife's role, I want to put real quickly just to show that tied in together is husband's love. Husbands, love your wives. It's the agape love. It means lover enough to die for her. That's what that word is. He is to love. He is to be. He is to love. He is to lead. He is to love as the leader. He is to be the loving leader. That's the bottom line. And we're going to see more when we get into the role of the man. But it is. In fact, notice this one. Husbands, love your wives and be not embittered against them. The word means harsh. Because some men think they're the boss. The home is his what? It's castle. Man, my house, I do what I want it cleaned up. I want it cleaned up. I want it the way I want it to be. That guy needs to go stand in the yard for a while, you know? Because that's not the way it is. The husband is not the boss of the wife. He is the head and the leader. There's two different things there. And so if you have been told that the husband's the boss and the wife is to obey, that's not scriptural at all. The husband is the head and the wife is to submit. That's totally different. And we'll see it as we get a little further on. Some men think they rule their homes. They're not the king. They're not the loving leader. They're not the boss. They are to be the loving leader. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a what? Servant. The man serves his family. His decisions are based on the word of God and what is best for his family. So we see wives submit, husbands lead. Now, let's turn to Ephesians 5, because there's more details in Ephesians 5. So just flip a few pages over toward the front of your Bible to Ephesians 5. And we remember we've seen this before, that in Ephesians 5, beginning about verse 22 through on into chapter 6, we're going to see role of husband, role of wife, role of parents, role of children. And it ties in with a lot more details. But Ephesians 5, if you would look at verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Another way to say that is as fitting to the Lord, as fitting as what God would want, as if you're submitting to the Lord. Now, in verse 22 and 23, notice, and I hope you're there, wives, be subject to your own husbands as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wives, Christ is the head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. Those two verses, here's the charge. Submit. Why? Because the husband's the head. If the husband is the head, somebody's got to come under that authority, and that's the wife. So in verse 22, wives, be subject to your, and this one gives more details. I didn't put it up on the slide, but it says to your own husbands. It makes it very clear that your submission is to your own husband, not somebody else's husband, your husband. This is the marriage plan, husband and wife together. Notice, to your husband as to the Lord. Now, this is what makes it hard, because what we're really saying is you submit to your husband because you understand this is God's plan, and you're submitting as if you were to the Lord because this is the Lord's plan that he has set up. I remember counseling a couple, and this has been a long time ago, and she said to me, I'm never going to submit to any man. I said, don't get married. Don't get married, because that's the first thing you do. If you're not going to do that, don't get married, because you're going to have a lot of conflict. A lot of conflict. And what we found over and over, that when people understand the roles, and what I do when I teach, when I do premarital counseling, we have roles dealing with husband, information dealing with the roles of husband and wife. We have information dealing with money. Because I say, here are three big areas that you need to match in. You need to match in the roles, you need to match in money, and you need to match in what we sometimes call worship or beliefs. If you don't match as a husband and wife in what you believe, you're going to have great conflict. If you don't match in how you look at money, you're going to have great conflict. If you don't match how you see the roles of the husband and wife, you're going to have great conflict. And that's why you need to match in those areas. And, of course, in this study, all we're really looking at is the roles of husband and wife, parents and children. We're not getting into finances or anything like that. But it's powerful that this basically says, wives, submit to your husband. Now, what the reason? Because the husband is the head. That's verse 23. And we see that over and over. Now, he is to lead in love. And when we get to the guys, and it's going to be a couple of lessons, we're going to talk about that a man loves his wife as Christ what? Loves the church. How much did Christ love the church? Enough to die for us. The man loves his wife enough to die for her. I always use this example. It's real funny. I'll say, in the Titanic, who died? And you know what people say? Jack. I said, no, I'm not talking specifics in the movie. I said, in the Titanic, who died? Who died? The men did. They put the women and the children on the boats. 90% of everybody that died in the Titanic was a man. The men died. The women they put in the boats. Women and children first. That's the famous cry. Why? Because men say, I'm the loving leader. I love her enough to what? To die. And so, you know, when you know, as a woman, when you know your man will die for you, you shouldn't have any problem coming under that authority that God has ordained. And that's why they go together. That's why I'm touching on them right now. We're going to get more to it. So just as Christ is the head of the body and the church, the husband is the head of the family, and just as the church submits to Christ, the wife submits to her husband. They're a picture of Christ in the church. In fact, when you look at verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. He's just given the role of the husband and wife, and he calls them Christ and the church. Now, the first thing is submission. And we've not gone into a lot of details. And if you want more details, we can stop and go more. But the bottom line is this. In a family unit, the man has been placed as the head, and he is to love and lead. The wife is the suitable helper, the one that God has brought into his life that brought them together. She matches him, and she can do things for him that nobody else can. She matches him, and she comes under that authority, recognizing the role, and they match, and she submits in that sense. Okay. Now, with that in mind, I want to give the second one, and I know that we're going to run out of time because we only got about 3, 4, 5 minutes. Maybe the first bell will ring in just a minute. But the second one is the one that we've talked about before, and the one that has changed the way I do premarital counseling. Because over the years, I've always brought this out, but I didn't bring it out in a lot of detail. And now I'm bringing it out in a lot more detail. And that is, wives are to respect their husbands. Look down at verse 33 of Ephesians chapter 5. Nevertheless, each individual among you, talking to the men, also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. It goes together with submission. How can you submit to someone you don't what? Respect. It's awfully hard, isn't it? It's awfully hard. And so there is this aspect of respectful submission. We talked about the idea of respecting the man in lesson 2. And in the marriage, listen, men and women are just, we're totally different. I don't know if I have a slide on that. I think I do. We're totally different. Physically, just think about it. As a whole, men are bigger and stronger. Women are smaller in the sense in that way. Emotionally, most of the time, men are not as expressive emotionally. That they may hold it in more, where a woman might let out her emotions more. Intellectually, the truth is this, you know, we think so different. We talked about that. We talked about that men have boxes, and we put everything in a box, and we only think about that one thing. The woman is the river. She thinks about everything. She never forgets anything. We forget everything, and we put it in boxes and throw it away. And she'll say, "Why don't you remember that?" And we go, I don't know. Guys, it's not in the right box. I'm in the wrong box right now. That's why I can't remember anything. Right? And we talked about the nothing box, and we can just sit there, and you can say, "What did y'all talk about?" And we go, "Nothing. We didn't talk about anything." "What do you mean you did?" There's no such thing as not talking about anything. And we'd say, "Well, we did." And women, they can multitask. They think of 3 or 4 things at a time. I saw a lady yesterday while I was talking to a lady yesterday, she had a baby right here. She had a chair over here. She had a bottle right here. She had a bag back here. She was doing 3 things and talking to somebody about something she's going to do next week. That's what they can do, right? Right? And then we're over here in a box going, "Nothing. We didn't do anything. We're fine." Where's the baby? "I don't know. I put them down somewhere." Right? So we don't know what we're doing half the time, but we are different. And in relationships, love is that key. Now, what we said is why submit and respect. And what we brought up, and I want to bring it up again, and we'll stop right here because I know the... Did we get a bell yet or anything? Oh, we did? Okay. Listen to this. The key for man in the marriage relationship is respect. Men experience love differently than women. And we talked about it already. Now, I said this, what if your husband came to you as a woman and said, I don't love you, but I respect you? How would you feel as a woman? You want to throw up, right? Right? But if you're a man and your wife said to you, I love you, but I don't respect you, makes us throw up. See, because we don't feel that you love us if you don't respect us. We don't feel that. You can say I love you, but if you don't respect him, the man says, you don't love me. We'd feel horrible. That's why the passage says, nevertheless, each individual among you, this is talking about the men, is to love his own wife as himself. Because she feels love when we love. When we reach out in love and we do all these things. And the wife must see to it that she respects the man and all of his life sees himself as the knight. See, he's the prince. She's the princess. All of his life, he's woken up as a little boy, reading the books, seeing the movies, and what does he do? He's the guy that's going to fight the enemy. He's the one that's going to save the damsel in distress. He's the one that's going to gain the victory. He's the one that people are going to go, yes, crown, you know, he's the hero. You think of Star Wars at the very end. They're all marching down there to get the things on them. And you see the Lord of the Rings, and they're all getting crowned. I mean, they're all getting rewarded. And the men are going, yes, we defended, and we fought, and we, you know, that's the way men are. And all of the movies, all of the books, all of the fairy tales. Once upon a time, there was a damsel, and she was in distress. And so the knight in Sharnayara came and defeated the enemy and saved her. And they kissed and lived happily ever after. Every man says, I'm the knight. And if he's not respected, he's not the knight. He's nothing. He feels like nothing. That's why the passage says, respect. He does not feel respected. He does not feel loved. Now, they did, and I'm going to stop here. Is the second bell ring? It has? Listen to this. I'll stop with this question. They did a survey question, and they said, which would you rather have? Your wife say, I love you. Your wife say, I respect you. 80% said, I'd rather be respected than loved. Because when they feel respected, they feel what? Feel loved. Okay, we'll stop there. I've got some more things to talk about, and then we'll probably finish this one and get on into the wife's responsibilities next time. There's a lot there. So remember, wives, submit and respect. And if it's not enough details, if we just touched on it, we'll touch on it some more. Ask any questions, go through this, because I think it's vital, especially on how this thing works. Because if our relationships have so much conflict if we're not careful. And it's because the culture is telling us everything which is contrary to what the scripture says. So we got to look at it that way. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for the role of the wife. Thank you that you have placed her, that she has been placed in our lives in a perfect way. I mean, they just fit us exactly right. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't good for us to be alone, but you have brought into our lives that woman, the one taken out of us in a sense, the one that matches us, a helper suitable. And Lord, we realize that in the way the relationship functions is you've allowed us to be the head. You put us as the head. Not because we're better or worse, but just because that's how you chose to do it. And Lord, you have asked the woman in her great love for you and for the man to submit and to respect, to come under his authority and to respect him so that he feels that love and he can lead and he can be that knight in shining armor. Lord, thank you for how you set things up. Most of all, thank you for Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.